In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Nice to have everybody back for the Word for Life. Thanks for joining us today. Lead Pastor Ken Keltner with me, and my name is Jack Gardner, and I'm the Word for Life producer. We've been studying the book of Joshua. We'll tell you where we are here in just a minute. We do want to remind you that the missions conference is coming up Wednesday, the 12th through the 16th of October, and that'll have quite a few people in there that you might want to definitely come out and check out.
Each evening it will be a 7 o'clock service, and then Saturday night we have a banquet here at church that starts at 5 o'clock. We'll also be showing the video Etal that night, and then hearing from our missionary wives as far as what they've been learning. And those are always, it's just a wonderful evening here. And so you have to register or buy a ticket to get in for that. And if you need help with that, let us know. But that's on Saturday night, the 15th.
The subject of Catholicism, a pretty tough one to navigate at times, but nevertheless, we have Mike Gendron to do just that with his gospel ministry that helps in that area, and that is going to be November 12th through the 13th. So that's...
Yeah, that'll be a Saturday morning, and then Sunday he'll be with us.
Okay. And then that brings us up to Joshua, the book of Joshua, as we continue our study here, and we are in chapter 8 now.
Yeah. 35 verses that... You know, are critical after the defeat at Ai, and then they take care of the sin issue. And unfortunately for Achan, that was his death and all of his family right with him. That's how heavy that decision was, his sin, as far as the consequences. And so now we come into chapter 8, and they're going to get back to that momentum of experiencing victory God's way. And let me just say, if we're ever going to experience victory God's way, we need to do it God's way. And that's going to take a disciplined mind, a submissive heart, and really a hunger for God's word. And, you know, Jack, I find that if a person is really going to grow in their faith, that what is going to be the huge and the big help for them in that way is they're going to be in the word. And they're going to be studying the Word. And I have found too many believers stay in that infant baby stage of their Christian life because they just, you know, are reluctant and disobedient of getting in the Word and really seeing God work there in their life. And I've said it before that oftentimes you can have someone who just recently came to the Lord, and their growth and their spiritual discernment far outweighs maybe a believer who has been a believer for many, many years, and it all comes back to the believer for many years has not had the whole complete devotion to God's Word as a new believer. And so if we're going to experience victory in our lives, it's going to be that we're obedient and that we're in the Word.
Well, that's really what being renewed in our mind.
Yeah, exactly. What Paul was telling the Romans.
And it's not always easy to read the Word or just get into it. Like you said, discipline yourself. I know how difficult it's been for me at times. You know,
yeah. And discipline is not a bad word. It's a good word.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's where the word disciple.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes from.
Exactly.
I mean, that was an eye opener when someone said that to me. I was like, wow, I never really thought of that.
Yeah, that is a great point there, Jack. You know, Jack, there seems to be this divine mystery that's hard for me to understand, is that God can take the results of human weakness. Hmm. And if we let him, he can make them work together for good. You know, that goes back to Romans 8. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I don't know about you, and maybe those of you listening here this morning, how frequently that you've seen that happen in your own life. I mean, I would say some of the greatest lessons I've learned have resulted from my own mistakes or the mistakes of others that possibly touched my life. Hmm. And we're going to see that truth illustrated in Joshua chapter 8. And you know, we'll look at it in just a moment here, but as I was preparing for this, I traveled down memory lane to see how this has been lived out in my own life. I remember the discipline hand of my dad when, as a fourth grader, I quit right in the middle of a basketball game, and my dad was the coach. Mm. And, I mean, I just quit, Jack. We're going to lose, so they threw the ball into me, and boop, I just roll it right out of bounds. Mm. I only got to do that twice before the timeout came, and my dad said, "This timeout's for you. Are you going to play or are you going to quit?" I quit, and I tell you what, God used that in my life. I had some valuable lessons with the consequences that I suffered in regard to quitting. Hmm. You know, I thought back even of how I wrestled with the Lord in my college years. I didn't want to go into any type of youth ministry. I'd had some issues with youth pastors in my life, but you know, I put a nice little spiritual lingo to it, but really, what I was saying was, "Lord, here's my life, but I'm not going to do this." Hmm. Peace and victory really came when I came to that point of giving my life daily to say, "God, it's your life. My life is your life. Do use what you want." And even if it is to work with young people, and then I did that for about 20 years. I remember even sitting in the church office one summer Sunday evening writing my resignation letter after 15 years of ministry that I was done. I'd personally been attacked, and really my family. This is way back in Colorado, and again I went through the scrutiny of really not experiencing victory and just the situation. I felt warranted. I'm just going to quit. And once again, I had to come back and ask the Lord to forgive me as I confess my sin. And I saw his great work of grace in my own life as though it's almost as though he just picked me, Jack, off the ground, dusted me off, and said, "Get going." Hmm. You know, Solomon said it this way: a just man falls seven times and he gets back up again.
Yeah.
You know, you might have said, "Oh man, I've just blown it. I've sinned." Confess it and get back up and get going.
And seven really is the number that really indicates it can keep going. It's like Jesus, 70 times seven.
Yeah, to forgive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that we're not going to fail. It's the fact that we get up.
It's going to be our reaction to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a parent, can't you see this in your own family, your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter? They fall flat in the dust or on the concrete. I mean, they're scraped up, they're crying. They're not left there. We don't leave them there just to cry and struggle alone. Rather, the compassionate parent, grandparent rushes over, picks them up, him or her up, hugs them, gives them reassurances, wipes away their tears, brushes off the dirt. They're going to clean out the scrapes, and they're going to set him or her on their feet again, encouraging them, just keep going. Don't quit. Other times it can be a swift stroke of discipline, a stern rebuke. One of those distinct looks of reproach, you're in trouble. I remember seeing that from my dad specifically. But once the correction for wrong is over, there comes only encouragement to keep on keeping on. And that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. He takes no delight in our disasters. He finds no pleasure in our distresses. He longs only for us, as you mentioned earlier, Jack, to be right with Him, to be totally right. And he picks us up and he sets us on our way again in glorious company with himself. He did that with Peter. You know, I mean, Peter probably thought, "Man, I am worthless. Yep. I denied my Lord three times. I mean, what can I do?"
Yeah. Who's done it worse than me? Who's
saying? Yeah, exactly. But it was also true for Joshua and all of Israel. God wanted them to have what he'd promised them years ago. And he wanted them to be victorious in their faith. But they're going to need to do it God's way. And so that's how it is for us today. Isn't it wonderful that the Word of God and its principles are timeless? It's not just for Joshua's generation, but God uses those lessons even for us today. And we're going to have that disciplined mind, a submissive spirit, and a hunger for God's Word for us to really see victory. So we'll start, and we'll be in Joshua chapter 8 here for a few sessions, but see, we're going to see from Joshua and the people of Israel the readjustments that were made for spiritual victory after that terrible defeat at Ai and the cleansing of the camp because of Achan's sin. And the other thing you got to remember as we get into to chapter 9. I mean, the giving, I mean, all of a sudden, these other nations here, hey, Ai defeated Israel. So they can be defeated, and they start to develop some momentum. But God, first of all, wants to deal with his people, and he's going to remind them right away of his promises to them. In verse 1 of chapter 8, we read, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and rise up, go to Ai. See, I've given them into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land.'" And so right away, God says, "I promised you this was going to happen. I'm going to do it." And Joshua then is going to respond with courage and inner strength here. He's going to take God at his word. His fears are going to dissipate. His faith is going to be strengthened. I mean, he'd been triumphantly guiding the children of Israel across the Jordan through the whole battle with Jericho, with the city of Jericho. And he boldly has led this army all the way up to this point, knowing God has promised us victory. But then suddenly, with the defeated Ai, Joshua started to find himself experiencing frustrations, anxieties. He began to start being immobilized by fear, and fear can be absolutely crushing and debilitating to us. I mean, he felt defeated. He's not the first servant of God who's ever felt defeated. I mean, Jeremiah felt defeated. Elijah, after his great battle at the valley, there at Mount Carmel, he felt defeated. And it was like Joshua saw no way out, this humiliating defeat by this small city of Ai. And it must have been horribly difficult to issue the order to execute Achan and his family. But Joshua is now surrounded by thousands of discouraged and fearful Israelites. I mean, it might have even been an atmosphere of doom and despair once again, this terrible scenario. And right away, we find God promises Joshua, "Don't be afraid." I mean, Joshua, I mean, fear was crippling to him. It was crippling to the people. Jack, I mean, fear is still crippling to people today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone defined fear as the unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat of pain. You think back at the fear the Israelites had towards Goliath. I mean, they were shaking in their tents. Along came a little shepherd boy who said, "No, my confidence is in God. I'm not going to fear."
And took, what, 5 rocks and used one?
Yep, used one. You know, that phrase, "fear not, do not be afraid," is 365 verses. And really, all of those verses, one for each day, go hand in hand. In fact, I was looking at something. Lloyd Olgavev, in writing his book Facing the Future Without Fear, said there are not only 365, there's 366 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day, including leap year. As you start this day off, friends, let's take that passage right there. Let's not be afraid. Have a wonderful day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.